Good evening.
Good evening.
David. It's a name that, since we've been a little older than very young, always comes with the name Bathsheba. When we hear the name David, that's what we immediately think of. There's no other way to go about it than think of that name. And we know that he made a mistake, and we know that he was looking at Bathsheba while she was on the rooftop, and he just couldn't help himself, right? But I don't think that the reason that when we hear the name David, we put those two names together is because of the sin as much as his reaction to the sin. Because when David did it, and when David did what he did to Bathsheba's husband and basically killing him by putting him on the front lines of the battle, and Nathan the prophet came to him, David broke down. David didn't try to deny it. David didn't say, oh, he was just another soldier. David didn't say, hey, I'm a king, I can do whatever I want. David broke down because he knew that even though he didn't answer to anybody on earth, he knew who he did answer to. And when he broke down, he prayed one of the most beautiful prayers that I think is in the Bible and certainly that I've heard. And I just want to look at two verses in Psalm 51 that say, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. That's Psalm 51, verses 10 and 11. And the reason that this sin occurred was because of a hardening of David's heart. And it was a product of a lack of prayer in David's life. And so the solution to make sure that something like this doesn't happen in his life again, and he knew this, and something like this doesn't happen in our lives, a sin that separates us from God, is to pray God's will all the time so that we aren't separated from him. And so there's two parts to that. And the first one is praying God's will. We have to make sure that it's God's will. And David knows that it is here because he doesn't ask it as though it were a question. He says, God, create in me a clean heart. I need to be renewed. I know what I've done wrong, and I'm asking this because I know that this is what you want from me. And it's a weird thing to demand something almost of God, but God wants it to be demanded. David's saying, I want to obey you, Lord. Help me do so. And we know that it'll happen because of James 4:3, where it says, your prayer is not answered because you pray with the wrong motives. Your desires are amiss. And so that makes you think that if you pray with the right motives, then your prayer will be answered, right? And so I think that's where David gets his passion in these verses. But the second part is praying without ceasing, with diligence, to continue the race. And so in 2 Timothy 4, verses 9 and 10, are two of the saddest verses for a weird reason. And it's Paul saying, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. I mean, wasn't that David's problem? Paul gives him two sentences. Earlier in the Bible, Paul talks about Demas as a brother, as someone who is close to him, but he fell away because he loved this present world. When Demas was confronted, he chose the world over God, which is the decision that David didn't make. David made the opposite decision. And that's why we know who he is. In order to pray without ceasing, with diligence, we need to know what we struggle with. We need to know what our problems are beforehand, before they happen, right? So David knew that he struggled with lust. That wasn't something that just happened one day when David was old. David had wives and concubines. And David and Bathsheba doesn't happen if David prays the prayer that we read in Psalms, but the present version. If David says, Lord, keep my heart clean. Keep my spirit steadfast. Keep me in your presence. And keep your Holy Spirit with me. It's the same thing that he prayed, but just praying it knowing that he never wants a sin like that to happen again. And in our lives, we struggle with sin, obviously. Everybody does. And in order to improve our prayer life, we need to know what we struggle with and know that we need to pray about those things. Part of prayer is that we have to look at our own problems. We need to pray preventative prayers in order to continue the good fight. Pray the right prayer in order to be with God and continue praying that prayer in order to stay that way.
Next psalm will be number 500. Number 500.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Please pray with me for confidence and to properly bring the words to you guys. Precious Father, in Christ Jesus' name, I thank you for this opportunity that I could stand before your flock to read your word. Lord, may it be a blessing to those that hear it, and help us, Lord, that our hearts be fixed on you. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I have seen Brother Jack done this countless times, and he makes it look easy. But now that I'm up front, it doesn't seem so easy. So the scripture that I'm bringing to you guys here today is from Romans chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. And it reads, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." I would like to tell you a short story before I start. And you could just look around. Everyone is from different nationalities, different backgrounds. But we all gathered here under one circumstance, and that's in Christ Jesus' name that we are here.
Amen.
We all have a past. We all were brought up in a different situation, different environment, different culture. And yet, now that we're here, and some of us are older, some of us are younger, yet someone had to teach us the way. Someone had to be a servant for us, just like Jesus was to his disciples and to all of us. I remember being a child, not knowing anything, and that as time goes on, as I got older, I examined other people and started listening to my parents. And just by listening and doing what I was told, I'm living life just fine. Yes, I would fall, but then I would rise again. And that goes for all of us. We all needed a parent to guide us. We all needed someone to be our servant. Our parents would work day and night, and it wasn't for their benefit. It was just because that they wanted to provide for us. They would teach us, don't do this, don't do that. Because when we go out there, they didn't want to have to worry about us if we get into trouble or if they have to get a call from the police or from the hospital. And it's very interesting that now that we are all here, that it was by someone else's love and grace that we are. And it was by someone else's identity. Since we're infant, we didn't choose the family that we're born into. And yet they cared for us. They loved us unconditionally. And this is just like us. Our identity is in Christ Jesus. Before we even knew him, before the world was created, he had already chosen us. And I love how Jesus started out his gospel in Mark. After he was baptized, before he did any miracles, the heavens were open and God said, "This is my son with whom I'm well pleased." And so, Jesus being confident that his identity is in God, He did not have to worry about the persecution that he would face or the tribulation that he would have to endure, even the cross. As for us, we can also live by that example because we're baptized in Christ Jesus' name. And so we are stained with his blood. We are adopted in his family. So our identity is in Christ Jesus. And by our identity being in him, that work in us obedience to follow him wholeheartedly. Now, aside from when I was a child and growing up and then watching others and being led by others that are older than me, what about the ones that are lost in the world? The one that had a parent, the one that was raised in a certain way, those that were in a Christian home and those that wasn't. For us Christians, we understand that we're studying and making us of discipline so that we are not ashamed of the gospel. So that wherever we are, when we're out in a restaurant, we bow our head and give thanks for the food. Because it's not by our own strength, but by God's grace that we have it. When we're out traveling, we're in the airplane. God, please be with the pilot. We're being an example for those that are out there. And it's all by God's grace. So how does one not become ashamed of the gospel? How does one find that boldness to be able to preach Christ when everyone else is against them? Well, the Bible is the word of God, and that I am super sure of. The word of God must be recognized as the only source of authority in matter of religion. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be throughout equipped for every good work." And just like your parents when you were being raised, since the moment you were born, you didn't really know them. But as time goes on, you learn to trust their voice. You learn to take them at their words because they had the best interest for you. Same with God. He gave us his word. That's the biggest blessing that we have, is our relationship with him, and that we are able to know him through the scripture. So, in working on not being ashamed of the gospel, we must truly understand how we to study the word and truly follow it. There is an interesting passage that is mentioned in Hebrews, and it's in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 and 14, and it reads, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you have to be teachers, you need someone to teach you in the elementary truth of God's words all over again. You need milk and not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. The solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." And to relate to this as us being infants, we all had to be trained. As an infant, we didn't start out with eating raw meat. Oh, excuse me, not raw meat, but meat. We all started with milk. Our parents nurtured us, hugged us, and showed us love so that when we're older, when we have our kids, we may do the same thing. And as we got older, 8, 10 years old, we start eating solid food. And as time goes on, we start eating more mature food. And some of us even start lifting weights, trying to pump irons and get big muscles. So, in the same way, we Christians are to do the same thing with the word of God. As 2 Timothy verse 15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handled the word of truth." So in the process of not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, it's very simple. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came on earth. He lived among us a righteous life. He bared all punishment on the cross. He took God's wrath upon himself. And on the third day, he was resurrected. And that in him, we have eternal life. But why is it that some of us don't believe? It's interesting because the truth is out there. Because it says, "For then the righteousness of God is revealed. For all the things that are made are clearly seen, for they were created by the invisible thing, so that they are without excuse." So then, why is their heart hardened? Even Paul, when he went to preach the word, he didn't try to disguise it. He didn't deceive anyone. And he even records this in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1 through 5. It says, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, which in preaching Christ, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even in our gospel, it is veiled to those who are perishing." So although God's creation is there to prove God's existence, and scientists trying to find other ways of explaining it, the only reason that they don't seem to get it is because they are perishing. It's in us. It's because their heart is hardened. He continues to say, "The God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servant for Jesus Christ's sake." And I like the last thing that he says here. "And ourselves as your servant for Jesus Christ's sake." Just as our parents, slaving away day and night, trying to provide for us so that we have clothes on our back, we have a roof over our head. They didn't have to do all that, and yet they slave away. When Jesus came, feed the hungry, cared for the poor. He was with the needy, the sick, he healed them. He was a servant. Although he was king and he was Lord over them, he humbled himself. He washed his apostles' feet. He became lower than them just to show the power of God. So we ourselves, and working of not being ashamed of the gospel, we need to humble ourselves because the lost are out there. And they need guidance. They need the light. For in Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "The word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." And we as Christians, we are the light of the world. We need to shine brighter for Christ. We need to stand strong because the devil is busy, so we need to be busier. There's so much I can say about not being ashamed of the gospel, but God is working in everyone's heart. I encourage you to be a workman that needed not be ashamed, to study diligently, to show yourself approved, so that you may lead the lost to God. Thank you for your time.
Song number 500.
Okay, I have maybe 10 minutes again. Jack is not here, so maybe I have 1 hour. Nice job. Thank you, Dane, and thank you, Bebeto. We appreciated this lesson because I think it's too difficult for young people to talk about God in the front of many other people. So, thank you. And then talk about David, and all we are sinners, but Jesus died for us. And that is amazing. And thank you, God. And thank you, Jesus. And we have the gospel. And through the gospel, we have salvation. But what happened after the gospel? Is Christianity a set of rules or a relationship? Because we need to define what is a relationship with God. What is a relationship with Jesus? Because many people, they don't understand what is a relationship with God. And we need to understand what is this? Why I am a Christian? Why I follow God, why I follow Jesus. It's not because I am so smart. No, it's because I am a sinner. I understand what God is doing for me. And Jesus, he's doing this. I can forgive you. And thank you, God, for doing that. And Psalm 23 verse 1 say, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's not only our shepherd, It's my shepherd. It's a personal relationship with God. Many Christians think, what about him? What about him? Wait a second, Peter. What Peter said? What about John? Hey, Peter, look at me. It's about you and me. Our relationship. My relationship with God. Christianity is not about my brother. It's not about my sister. Christianity is not about my dad, my mom. Christianity is not about my children. Christianity is not about my parent, my grandparent. Christianity is not about other Christian. Christianity is about you and God. My relationship with God. If you think other people can be bad Christian, it's sad. It's sad. It's really sad. But I don't care. Because I need to show them how to walk with God. I need to show them this is my life with God. I am in this way with him. It's a personal relationship. And Matthew 22, verse 37, and Mark 12, 29, and 30, we see this amazing verse. It's the same with Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is a complete person. It's not only my mind. Oh, I can understand that in the Bible. That is good. You can understand that in the Bible. But it's not only that. It's your mind, your soul, your heart. It's the complete you. Do you understand this? We are not walk alone in this faith. We have an amazing friend. It's called Jesus. It, God is with us. So, this is the first and great commandment. It is a personal relationship with the Lord. It's all the days of my life and every hour. In Micah, verse 6, chapter 6, verse 8, said, he has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humble with your God? I remember my mom many times next to my bed praying for me. I remember that because it's thank you, mom. Many nights. But I remember other times when a guy, my man need to pay money for something what he buy. I don't remember that exactly. But I remember my mom told my sister, my other sister, not Anais, she told her, say to the guy outside, I am not here. She wasn't home, but she told my sister, told that guy, I am not here. I am not in home. And my sister, she was 7 years old. She walked out the house, and she told this guy, my mom said she is not in home. You can laugh now, but that is a liar. That is in two different phases. You can one day pray for someone, and another day you can say something bad. So we are not Christian. Again, I need to say this every time. We are not Christian one day. If you are a Christian, you have this personal relationship with God and with Jesus. It's personal. It's not about your neighbor. It's about you. Why you are here? Because you know who he is. Because you know who God is. This is my sermon, Relationship and Overcomes. Please, I need to finish with something in Revelation. Please open your Bible, open your phone, open your iPad. Revelation, chapter 1. We have here in chapter 2 and chapter 3, seven churches. And they contain revelation and divine revelation for us, for our days, for our age. So we need to look this. And every church starts with a phrase about Jesus Christ. You can see, for example, in chapter 2, verse 1, the one who holds the seven stars. Verse 8, the first and the last. Verse 12, the one who has the sharp two-edged sword. Verse 18, the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire. Verse chapter 3, verse 1, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Verse 7, he who is holy. God is holy. So we remember in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, what Peter said about God said, I am, be holy because I am holy. We have this relationship with God because he is holy. We are holy too. And you can see in chapter 4, verse 8, what say in this verse? It said, holy, holy, holy. I cannot see in the Bible, God is love, love, love. God is mercy, mercy, mercy. God is all powerful, all powerful, all powerful. God is grace, grace, grace. I don't can see that in the Bible, but I can see this. God is holy, holy, holy. That emphasize who God is. And what God told you, be holy because I am holy. So if you have this personal relationship with God, please conduct yourself in a different way. We know we have a struggle in our life. We know we have problems. We know we have different situations. But you can see these two chapters, and God is in charge. God is in control. God, only our God. And I know in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, say, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life. Fight. We are soldiers, and we are not in our home like I am in my living room watching TV. That is not a soldier. We can see soldiers outside. They are fighting for something. We are the family of God, but we are soldiers. And we need to fight this fight because it's not easy to fight this. But we know if we have this kind of relationship with God, please, please, you need to understand this. It's you personal relationship with him. It's not about other people. And God told you, be holy because I am. So, if you are with us this night and you want to confess Jesus Christ as the Lord and the Son of the living God, You can be baptized if you believe in him. This is your moment, this is tonight, not tomorrow, not the next week, not in 2 weeks. If you have problem and see bad situation in your life, don't give up. Fight this amazing faith and stand up for Jesus, for Christ, because you have this personal relationship with him. So please, stand up for this song.